My brothers and sisters, today is truly a day of great joy and celebration for all of us here at Our Lady of Hope. Today, we honor Father Joseph Machetto, who was ordained yesterday at our cathedral by Bishop Burbage, along with four other young men. And also, today is his first Mass, a great celebration. But today is also Trinity Sunday, so it does behoove us, before moving into sort of the main event, to think about the Trinity. In the Gospel today, we hear the very words of our Savior, Jesus, who said, "God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe." These are beautiful words. They remind us always that our God is a God who is love and who loves us in a way beyond our imagining. You won't find these words in any other place except the Holy Gospel of St. John and part of our sacred scriptures we simply call the Bible. You won't find them in the sacred scriptures of any other major religion. No, these beautiful words remind us why we are Christians, why we believe. And so we look at this beautiful mystery of the Holy Trinity. Appropriately, last Sunday, celebrating Pentecost, we brought to a close the whole Easter celebration. So we see the act of a God who is love in all of that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God who has been revealed as three divine persons. Yes, all eternal, all distinct, all equal, all fully sharing the divinity of God, and always working as one God. So we think then of how this is a mystery, but it's been revealed to us. Yes, a mystery because poor human beings bound in this time and space, we can't comprehend all of this. We're limited even by our language. Poor St. Augustine tried to comprehend the Trinity. He really couldn't. He was walking along the seacoast of the Mediterranean in northern Africa, where he was the Bishop of Hippo, contemplating the Trinity. Eventually, he did write a treatise, which even to this day confuses me at times. But nevertheless, he saw this little boy. The little boy dug a hole in the sand, and then with his pail, went to the sea, filled the pail up, brought it back, poured it into the hole. Any of you know, if you go to the ocean, you try doing something like that, the water just is absorbed immediately in the sand. So Augustine saw the little boy do this several times, and eventually he said, "Son, don't you realize you're never going to fill up that hole?" And the little boy said, "Augustine, I'll fill up this hole sooner than you figure out the Holy Trinity." And the little boy was Jesus and disappeared. So let's do some simple theology for a moment. God is love, love that is perfect, infinite, eternal. Love always seeks expression. It's giving, self-giving, life-giving. The Father perfectly expresses himself in the Son, the Word, the wisdom, the truth, Jesus. This love is given totally by the Father to the Son, returned by the Son to the Father. Everything the Father has is given over to the Son. Everything that Jesus does, says, always reflects fully the Father. This is why at the Last Supper, our Lord said to his apostles, "When you hear me, you hear the Father. When you see me, you see the Father." Distinct. But the mystery of this boundless love. They like breathe in this love. And so, from this love between Father and Son, it's personified in the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the giver of that love. Now, when we put it into this completion, just so briefly, we see that the real love of our Trinity is a faithful, permanent, self-giving, life-giving love. We see this implicitly revealed in Scripture. Going back to the Old Testament times, it's implicitly revealed where in creation, God spoke through his word, saying, "Let there be light." And then creation started to come forth with design, purpose, and order. There's a wisdom behind that creation. So this is why in the Creed we say when we come to Jesus, through whom all things were made. He's the Word. And then the Holy Spirit hovered over that creation, breathing in life. This is why in the Creed we say, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, the implicit revelation. Or we hear of Moses in our first passage, going up to Mount Sinai. He's in the presence of God. God speaks his word in those Ten Commandments. The Holy Spirit has descended in this form of a cloud filled with lightning and fire. And so again, an implicit revelation. Of course, though, we have the explicit revelation in the Gospel. In St. Luke's Gospel, we hear immediately of how Archangel Gabriel came to Mary, announced that she had been chosen to be the mother of the Savior. And then, by the will of the Father, Jesus, true God, entered this world, becoming also true man. Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. St. John beautifully writes in his prologue, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory, the glory of an only begotten Son, filled with enduring love." And so, my brothers and sisters, we have the beautiful revelation of the Trinity. You and I are always called to reflect that love because we've been baptized in the name of the Trinity. In your marriages, you're called to reflect that love. In your families, the same. But so it is in the priesthood. And so the priesthood is also a beautiful reflection of the gift and love of the Holy Trinity. And so with that, yesterday we had the beautiful ordination of one of our own vocations. Now, just a little aside, I have known young Joseph, Father Joseph, since 2000. And I remember arriving here at the end of June, and sometime early in July, the Machetos had me over to their home. This is even before we had our first Mass at Holy Potomac Falls High School. So there was Tom and Beth, and there was Cecilia and Emily, and there was young Joey. So we had a wonderful dinner, and then Joey disappeared. But then he came back, and he decided to give us a show. Dressed up, song and dance, baton, there you have it. So that's the beginning. But that's the only story I'm going to say about you. But it's a beautiful story because there, being in that home, you saw the goodness of the presence of the Trinity. You had a mom and dad who lived their marital vows that reflected that permanent, sacrificial, faithful, life-giving marriage vows that God intended. You saw the family that lived the faith. And it's this family that lived the faith that gave young Joseph a fertile heart to hear the word of God say, "Come, follow me." Now, granted, I'm not sure exactly when you heard those words, but you were an altar server here. You're involved in other ways, then off to college. Then after 2 years of college, it was time to make the decision of your life. One of the hardest. To hear the words, "Come, follow me," and say, "Okay, Lord, I'll give it a shot." Went to the seminary. And now, yesterday, here he is. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you think of being a priest now, it's really a reflection of the Father's love for us, sending his Son, Jesus, into this world to perfectly reveal the love of God. Jesus did that. Jesus is the priest. Never forget that. He's the high priest. And Jesus came into this world, of course, to reveal God's truth and love, to reconcile sinners. Jesus is the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Not one of many. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the one who reconciled sinners by offering the sacrifice on the cross and rising to give us the hope of everlasting life. Yes, he ascended, but he didn't mean it to stop. He told the apostles he and the Father would pour forth the Holy Spirit, and he ordained those apostles. He knew that his church had to go on. So his priesthood was conveyed to those first apostles. So those apostles, various cast of characters, from fishermen to an accountant named Matthew to a carpenter named Philip and so on, Christ chose them. He saw something in them that could be great for carrying on that mission. He told them at the Last Supper, "Do this in remembrance of me." At the Ascension, he said, "You go out now. You're going to baptize, preach the gospel, make disciples, and teach everything I have commanded you." With the gift of the Holy Spirit, the apostles did that. But it's been carried on. And this is part of our church too. Priests carry on that mission of Christ. Priests are called to live that love and reflect that love of the Holy Trinity, that permanent, faithful, self-giving, self-sacrificing love. And so we have young Joseph hearing those words, "Come, follow me." And he said yes. He said yes to go to seminary. He said yes when the bishop officially gave him that call to holy orders. But yesterday at the cathedral, he said yes. His name was called, and he simply came forward and said, "Present." Now, in Latin, it's better. It's ad sum, which means, "Here I am." Throughout the Old Testament, how often do we hear the prophets say, "Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will." That's what Joseph said. And then he prostrated himself with the others as the litany of the saints was being chanted. And he rose up, showing a death and a resurrection to a new life. That he wasn't going to be simply Joey Machado anymore. He was going to be Father Joseph Machado. The bishop imposed hands in total silence. Very mysterious, but showing that transference of that apostolic authority of priesthood. The bishop said the consecratory prayer. And with that, truly, he is now Father Joseph Machado. He's called then to always identify with Christ, to present that identity. He's called to configure himself to Christ through the sacrament of holy orders. He has been configured to Christ. So with that in mind then, you have a great challenge. So the Father sent his Son into this world to give everlasting life. You are that Son. You have the title Father, though. You act in the person of Christ. So like a good father, you have to provide nourishment for your family. You do that especially through the sacraments that Christ has entrusted to the church. You are the one who will continue to baptize and bring new life of grace to people who receive that sacrament. You will reconcile sinners, even the worst of sinners. You will, in special cases like an adult convert, be able to confirm. You'll bless marriages and witness those profession of vows. You'll anoint the sick. How beautiful that is to help comfort someone preparing for maybe major surgery or even preparing to pass from this life. Most importantly, though, your identity comes with what you do in a few moments, and that is to offer the sacrifice of the Holy Mass. There, you really show the identity of Jesus. You offer a sacrifice that participates in the everlasting, ever-living sacrifice of our Savior. As you offer that Mass, always reverently, pay attention to those words of consecration. You will be speaking for Christ. He'll be speaking through you. And you'll shift from third person to first, past tense to present tense. So yes, Jesus is speaking those words, but you also are making your own offering of yourself. You're saying, "Yes, Jesus, I'm giving you my body, I'm giving you my blood. I'm going to nourish my flock as your priest. Always make sure the heart of your priesthood is going to be the Holy Eucharist and the Mass. And then, like the good father, you're called to protect your family from evil. The great evil of our world today is falsehood, error, ignorance. We see it. The counter-gospel is so well proclaimed, especially through the media these days. So many people have turned what is abnormal into the normal, have turned error into truth. Many people, including those in your own congregation, do not know their faith for various reasons. So when you preach, you're called to touch those hearts. This means you have to preach the truths of our faith. You have to be the one who is going to show people how we live authentic Christian lives. You're the one that even has to confront the tough issues, like abortion, or the racism, discrimination that we've seen recently in our country. You can't shy away. You can't be insipid in your preaching. You have to be inspirational. You have to be challenging. You have to be one who's not a crowd pleaser. Instead, you have to be a leader of your flock. So you proclaim the truth because Christ is true, and that truth has to carry on. With all of that, though, in your preaching, you can touch hearts. Remember, though, before you can touch the hearts, they have to see it lived out. If they see it lived out in your life, then people will hear, listen, and change. Then, too, like a good father, you have to be sacrificing, self-giving, not always easy. And this is where you need to rely on the Holy Spirit and be open to those inspirations. Never give in to just doing the minimal, but rather rely on the Holy Spirit. Maybe the inspiration might be your new assignment to see something to start, a new initiative. So you see a need in a parish. Always ask your pastor first before you do that. But the key is that you should see the needs and bring that. If it's the Spirit's work, it will succeed. You may at times have to be called to do difficult things or things that are not convenient. Like when you're in a sound sleep and the phone rings and you think, oh, good golly, there's a phone and there's a sick call. But the Holy Spirit will provide, and you get up, and you'll be very rewarded if you do that. And there's going to be the times, too, when you're transferred, and then that's hard. That is hard, and at times you're praying like our dear Lord did in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, Lord, your will be done. Always rely on the Holy Spirit. So today is truly a very happy day for all of us here at Our Lady of Hope, for your dear family, for you. But it's the first day. And so keep on living that walk of holy priesthood and grow in that identity of Jesus Christ. Look to the example of your patron saint, Saint Joseph, a holy man, a holy spouse, a holy foster father for our Lord. You're called to be a holy man, to be a holy spouse of a church, and also to be the holy father for the children entrusted to your care. So may God bless you. Always be assured of our prayers here, and we wish you much joy and success. Amen.